last couple of weeks, we've been talking about increase. We had our Vision Sunday a little while ago, and we put forward that word increase, that everything that God does has that about it, has increase about it. Everything he speaks comes to life and begins to increase. And so over the next, Gav started last week, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to double click on that word increase and see different aspects that are going to be evidences that we can see and things that we can participate in that will cooperate with that idea of God's increase happening in and through us. In Hebrews, just at the end of Hebrews 10, it says this: "But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." I don't think I'm alone up here on the stage this morning as someone who just wants to go through the motions of church and do the same thing next week and see the same results. I don't think I'm alone in not wanting that to happen. Am I? Aren't we those who don't want to shrink back, but who have faith and want to lean forward and to walk forward into all that God wants? That's really good to hear. Earlier on in chapter 10 of Hebrews there, it says, "So let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of that faith." So this morning, that is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about growing in faith. Last week, Gavin talked about growing in knowing. And knowing God is the environment in which faith grows. Knowing God is the fuel of faith that keeps it strong. And so if you haven't listened to Gav's message from last week, you should. Because all the way through here, we're going to be cycling through knowing God and then having faith in God and knowing God and reminding ourselves of all that God is so that we can have faith in him. So growing in faith. We're going to stick in the letter of 2 Peter. So if you've got your Bibles out, or if you've got them with you, get them out and open that, because it's really good to have your own version of this that you can tangibly touch and flick and highlight and all those kinds of things. In 2 Peter chapter 3, right at the end of his letter, Peter says these words in verse... Oh, I can't see what's going on here. Where are we? Oh, is it there somewhere? No, this is too small. Growing in faith. I think that's it. Yeah, can you read that? Yeah, cool. Verse 17. This is how he kind of summarizes everything that he's been talking about in this entire letter. "You therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand that things are going to happen, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your stability, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity." We're going somewhere here. And while we're here, there's an expectation that we will grow. Growth is the intended purpose that God comes to you with. He doesn't want to come to you and then let you stay where you are, but he wants you to grow into all that he's purposed for you. So we're gonna talk about growing in faith. Growing in faith. Growth is possible. That word there, when it says grow in faith, it implies that it's possible to grow, doesn't it? If you have had the new life of Christ come to you through faith, you've been born again, and the life of God has come into you. And if the new life is there, it will grow. The idea is that if you nurture a plant, it's going to grow. If it's got everything it needs to grow, if it's got nutrients in the soil and sun and it's getting watered, it's going to grow. If you feed a baby, it will grow. If it stays in proximity to its mum and it's feeding, it will grow. Anytime Scripture talks about growing or increasing or the building up or particular actions or behaviors, there's always the assumption that the life is already in you and it will produce these things. Okay, so, but you might feel like you're not growing. And I think all of us would be aware that there's areas in our lives that aren't, or that we're not happy with where the progress that we're making. If you feel like there's aspects that you want to improve, just ask yourself, has the new life of God come? Is it there? Have I been born again? Has the new birth of faith in Christ happened in me? If it has, then life and growth is possible. And if it hasn't, today is a great day to have faith, to put your faith in, to trust in Christ and let that new life come and be birthed in you, so that the things that you deeply desire that he's put in you would come to life and grow. The other things about growth there is that growth is gradual. It happens over time. It's not due to dramatic explosions of superficial emotion. That doesn't grow you. What grows is the internal development of knowing God. And it's imperceptible as it happens. You might feel like it's not happening, but if you stay connected to the nourishment of God, you will be growing. What we're doing together this morning and gathering together today is causing you to grow in faith. It is happening. And with anything like that, when we exercise it, it becomes strong, it becomes flexible, it becomes capable. But those things happen over time. Growth is gradual. And growth is gracious. God is gracious, and it comes by the gift of grace. Grace, we know, is the undeserved favor of God, but it's also the empowering presence of God. And so it's not that we have to grit our teeth and do you remember that ad a little while ago where the guys are driving down in the car and they all go and beards pop out and like hair grows because that's not how growth comes. I wish it did. It's not grow or else. We're going to be disappointed. God's going to be disappointed. It's not that. It comes by his grace. It comes by his gift. And we can sometimes have a look at growth like, out of fear, out of comparison, or out of approval, we want to bolt on extra things onto our lives so it looks like we're growing. But actually, growth comes from the internal nutrient, nurture and exercise of what God's already put in us. So we're growing in faith. When we read that verse from 2 Peter there, I kind of hear in there, I wonder if as he's writing it, he's thinking about his own life and his own past, and maybe he's reminded of that night in the boat where the boys saw Jesus walking on the water and Peter cries out, "Lord, if it's you, call me out on the water." And we know that Jesus calls him out, and so he's out there and he's walking on the water, and then he starts looking at the waves and he has to cry out again, "Lord, save me." Maybe when he's talking about not losing your stability, he's remembering that. Maybe he's remembering that boastful declaration that he made, "I'll never leave you, Lord. Even if everybody else does, I'll never forsake you." Maybe as he's writing, he hears a rooster crow in the neighbor's yard, and that familiar sting comes back. But then that causes him to remember Jesus coming to him and reinstating him, saying, "Peter, do you love me?" And him saying, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus saying, "Well, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." Faith needs feeding. It comes by relationship. It comes by proximity and closeness. It comes through loving service. And it comes by scripture. It comes by reading Jesus' words, reading God's words. So are you feeding on him? Are you allowing yourself to be fed? Are you coming up to the Master's hand and feeding? If you are, faith will grow. The faith we're talking about is a divine faith. It's from God. It's what he does in us. And if we flick back to the very beginning of this letter, we get Peter's writing an urgent reminder to the church. It's intense as you read through it. It's really short, but it's really intense. He's reminding the church, he's reminding us of the call to grow and to remain unwavering in our faith amidst the reality of trials and persecution and enemies and deception that are going to come. We're reminded of Jesus' words where he says, "In this world, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. Take heart, have faith in me." So let's just read verses 1 to 11 here up on the screen. But in your Bibles, put your finger on it. This is Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. The environment of growing faith is the knowledge of God. And faith is not, it doesn't come in levels. It doesn't have size. Faith is faith. It's equal. Your faith is equal to mine, and ours, it tells us here, is equal to the apostles' faith, who walked with Jesus and saw him, yet we have obtained the same a faith of equal value, of equal potency, of equal purpose. Isn't that amazing? And when we see Jesus as we read, as we see his glory, as we are reminded about him in the faces of the people in the room of equal faith, then it rises and it grows. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, again, of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he's granted to us the precious and very great promises. I'm just going to keep reading and I'll come back. Precious and very great promises, so that through them you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an inheritance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a divine faith. We have one faith of equal value. It comes with his divine power that's given us everything that we need. Whew. Precious and very great promises. Man, Peter is caught up in the wonder and the how amazing it is that we have all of these promises that equip and strengthen and build up our faith so that we can stand against all the things that come to us. Having these qualities, what's it going to do? It's going to make us effective and fruitful. You want to be effective and fruitful? Yes. And we've been given it by divine grace. He says, if you exercise these qualities, they remind us of Christ who cleansed us. When you're exercising virtue, when you're exercising anything, so as a music teacher, learning an instrument takes time. And anyone who starts learning an instrument sucks at it. It's really bad because there's something that happens in your brain where the information has to get from one side to the other and you have to make those connections happen. It takes time and effort to do that. But when you're learning the piano, you don't grow extra fingers to be able to get to where you need to go. You grow in flexibility, you grow in dexterity, you grow in capability. You grow in familiarity of the piano or the guitar or whatever it is. And so what happens is it grows in you internally. You get confident. You get courageous, don't you, Dave? You can stand on stage and then play in front of people because of all the internal work that has been going on, the years and the hours of practicing these things. So we exercise those things of our faith. That one? It's not triggering the right thing, man. Oh, did it? Hey, whoa, there it is. Cool, great. Okay, so we exercise our faith. We We exercise it. So those characteristics of virtue, the excellence, we think about God's character and we practice that. Knowledge, learning, growing, studying, spending time meditating, self-control, restricting the things of our flesh and allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Steadfastness, patience, perseverance when it's difficult. We stand. Godliness, God's character, God's divine nature. It's been given to us. We can partake in it, and so we practice it. We exercise it. One of the words, as we read, supplement your faith, it says reinforce your faith. It's an internal thing that happens. Brotherly affection. Practicing care, concern, hospitality. Isn't it interesting that we've suddenly flipped from things that are internal to things that work out of the faith that's internal? Where faith becomes evidence of things unseen. Conviction. Steadfastness that holds us in conviction for the things that we hope for. And so faith that's internal works out externally as we practice these things. It's not to attain faith because we know it's been given, but these things build up and strengthen our faith. And landing in love, selfless, laying aside my own needs for the benefit of others. And it says as we practice these things, we remember that we've been cleansed. And so again, we're back to the knowledge of Christ. We remember that we were cleansed, forgiven, that the old life has been done away with. It's gone down into those waters of baptism and it's stayed there, and the new life has come. All right, that sounds pretty good. That sounds great, but you might be feeling a little bit more like Peter, swamped by the waves. Might be all well and good to talk about practicing these things, but we have to walk through real life, don't we? Uncertainties and doubts, cares and worries. There's a number of moments that Matthew brings out where Jesus comes to his disciples and you might feel like this morning, where Jesus comes and says, "Oh, you have little faith." When the cares and worries come, and we're concerned about how this or that is going to happen. And Jesus comes and he says, look at how the birds of the air and the flowers are clothed by me. Don't you think I'll do the same? And what about when the storms come and it's raging around you and you don't know what's happening and you can't see your hand in front of your face and I don't know where to go and I'm confused and it feels like I'm going to be overwhelmed by the circumstance? Storms come, waves rise, and Jesus says, "I am here. I am the storm-stilling Son of God and I will be with you. Why are you afraid? You have little faith." Remember, faith doesn't have a size. And so it's not about the size of the faith. It's about where it is. It's about where that faith is resting. Peter starts to sink in everything that's going on and he cries out. And Jesus says, Peter, every wave will hold your foot if you keep your eyes on me. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Don't doubt. And then there's a moment where the disciples are stressing out about what everybody else is going to eat. And they've already seen him feed 5,000 people. And they're still worrying about what they're going to have, how they're going to meet the needs. And Jesus says, don't you remember that I fed people with leftover? Oh, ye of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves how it's going to work? Put your faith in me. I am the bread of life. For most of us, those types of cares and concerns loom pretty large, and they stand between us and Jesus, it seems. Until we see Jesus, the risen and exalted Son of God, and then those things begin to diminish. And we see them in their size of what they really are, because what we're holding on to is the hope that is our anchor, that is in eternity, that Peter says is kept in heaven for us. It's sure and it's certain. And then our faith connects to that hope like the rope that holds the boat to the anchor, and it keeps us and holds us. And then that storm and those waves and those things diminish. And then we get an idea of how Jesus can say, you can pick up that mountain and throw it into the sea if you've got faith, because the mountain looks really ridiculous when you look at our exalted and risen Savior. It doesn't have anything to stand on, because we're standing on the rock that is Jesus. Jesus says, if you hear my words and you do them, you will be like a man who builds a house up on a rock. And when the storm comes, you won't be shaken. So as we consider Jesus, as we get to know him, as we grow, as we practice those things that he says to do, we will be strengthened in our faith. We will be courageous as we stand against those things. And so we orient our faith toward Jesus, not towards the problem. David comes against Goliath and he says, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you with the name of the Lord. When your fears and your worries come to you and they question you about how you're going to get through this, when was the last time you turned around and questioned them? How are you going to stand up against my God? Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, have faith in me, because I've overcome it. So let our faith grow. I already did that one. Stand firm in your faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, the devil, your adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Stand in it. I nearly brought my little terrarium that was given to us that we had to replant. I'm not very good with plants. But I nearly brought it with me. But it doesn't do justice, because what God does is he plants us in a field, and that field experiences all the things that are happening. And if a tree grows up in the wind, it will grow strong because it's had to resist the wind. And so internally it grows, the fibers grow together and the connections and the resilience that it has because it has to resist the things that come. That's growth of faith within us. Not planted in a little pot, protected from, bubble wrapped from everything. But actually, what Jesus is trying to do as he's talking to the disciples, ye of little faith, what Peter is urging us and reminding us about is that we're going to have to stand through some things. And there's going to be some people who try to divert us and distract us and turn our faith not on Christ but on other things and bolt things on to look right. But he says, this is the divine faith that you've been given. We've got very great promises to stand on. Let's let that grow within us. So stand firm in our faith. We're going to exercise our faith and practice what he's given us to do. So it's not the size of our faith. When we say grow in faith, it's not grow the size of your faith. It's grow in faith. Let faith cause you to grow and rise and become resilient and courageous as you stand in the things that we have to walk through. Why? Because we're not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we're those who have faith and preserve our souls, and not only our souls, but the souls of everybody who hears the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how will people hear if no one tells them? And how will people go and tell them if they're not sent? As people who are full of faith, can we be those who let that faith work out of us in tangible, visible, practical ways that give a reason, that give evidence for the hope that we have within us? That as we grow in faith, it's like our knowledge of God goes deep and it goes wide. And then what grows above the surface is the fruit of that faith that is recognized, that evidences the faith. Having faith in Christ means that we are in Christ. There's this amazing thing that happens where Christ dwells in us by faith, and we are in him by faith. And all of the blessings of the heavenly realm are ours because we're in Christ and he's in us. So you might be in that place of, well, I think all of us are. Want to be courageous. Want to stand when things come. Want to trust that our needs will be met. Want to not be buffeted by insecurities and things of the old way of thinking. And Jesus comes and he says, it doesn't matter if you have, excuse me, it doesn't matter if your faith is little. Put it in me. Put your faith in me. And so, if you're hearing this morning, that Jesus wants to come and make you alive to him. And if you recognize that your faith has been in other things, that your trust and your reliance has been in yourself or in other things, Jesus is saying, if you put your faith in me, you will stand. If you put your faith in me and partake and participate in what I'm doing, then my glory will be revealed and people will see the hope that you have and come to join in that. And so as we think about increasing, as we think about growing in the things that God is doing in us, that's, can we engage in that? Can we participate in that? Can we be a church that doesn't shrink back, but a church that steps into and says, you know what? I'm going to practice those things because it's going to bolster my faith. I'm going to let the hope that I have be the anchor through all of the things that I face. And I'm going to walk that out alongside the people that God's planted me with so that we can be the demonstration of the life of God and see all those who would come in, stand alongside us, resilient, knowing the purity and sincerity of devotion to Jesus alone, and then walking into all that he has for us together.